Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators offseason. Where in the world do the Predators stand with their coach? And also all of the action in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I want to get into this because I thought that Joe Rexroad, to take words out of Adam Vingan's mouth, had a very astute observation this morning. Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports was on with Robbie and Adam this morning. Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley this week. And Joe talked about the perception of Mike Vrabel. Now, we know that Mike Vrabel has gone from a system within the Tennessee Titans organization where it was Amy Adams Strunk is the owner, John Robinson is the GM, and Mike Vrabel is the coach. Mike, your job is to win games. John, your job is to find good players. And we all know now in the Rand Carthon era of the Tennessee Titans, those roles are kind of blurred. It is a collaboration. So it's not Mike's only job now to go make up a game plan, hire the right coaches, and to win games. Now he and Mike Vrabel kind of walk hand in hand to make these decisions together. Mike Vrabel is not the general manager of this football team, but he's doing a whole lot more GMing now than he was this time last year. So Joe Rexroad asked the very fair question to Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports of, we know we look at Mike Vrabel a little bit differently, but do the Tennessee Titans look at Mike Vrabel? The players in the locker room look at Mike Vrabel a little bit differently? This was Charles Robinson this morning.
It's an astute observation, and I would think, yeah, that definitely exists with the Titans right now. People would be kidding themselves if they don't think that Mike Vrabel is going to have a much more there's going to be a lot more open latitude there for Mike to make the decisions he needs to with the roster without having to, you know, go to a John Robinson and say, you know, like, hey, this is shared power. Mike is still very much he's gained a heck of a lot more power than he had prior.
So Charles Robinson is saying, I think you would be silly to think that the dynamic of the player and Mike Vrabel relationship has changed. You've been there though, D-Mace.
You know, I don't. From what I've heard of Mike Vrabel, and this is why players, and I forgot who I was talking with, but this is why players like love Mike Vrabel or respect Mike Vrabel so much, because he's the same way with everybody. He's the same way with everybody. He's a guy that's straight across the board. You know exactly what you're going to get from Mike Vrabel. He's not going to be up one day and then down one day. He's not going to treat you, you know, like his best friend one day and then don't talk to you the next day. Everybody in that building, especially the players, know what they're getting out of Mike Vrabel, know how he's going to approach them. That's why they will run through a brick wall for him, because there's no walking on eggshells like, man, what does coach think today? What is he going to yell at me today? Is he going to walk past me without saying anything? Mm-hmm. That's not Mike Vrabel, from what I've gathered. So him having more power in the front office doesn't change anything with these players. Why? Because Mike has been the same way with every player that he's had. Now, he may have liked some players more than others, but if you ask all those guys, they'll tell you, like, Mike, he will curse Derrick Henry out just as much as he will curse that third string linebacker out if you're not doing what he's asking you to do. Or he will love on you just like he will love on Derrick Henry. If you are
Ben Jones.
Yeah, or Ben Jones. If you are giving the team all that you have, if you are respecting the team, then that's what he will show to you. So to me, just because now he has gained a little bit more power, if I am to believe that this is the way he operates, this is his characteristic, then I'm not worried. If I show up and play, I'm good. If I do the things, that's one thing that I love about That's one thing that I loved about Nick Saban, is that you knew exactly what you were going to get from him. Mm-hmm. If you did what he asked you to do, you were fine. You were good. But if you didn't, then he was going to get on you. No matter who you were, starter, non-starter, that's what you're getting out of Mike Vrabel. If you do the things that he asks you to do, you go out there, you bust your butt, you put the team first, we're good. But if you don't, then yes, I have a problem as a head coach. So with him getting more sort of power, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. Not to the players. As long as they do what they need to do, they're fine.
And I respect the hell out of that. When a coach, anyone in leadership, when the expectation is just, hey, do what you need to do. If you do your job and you do what you need to do, we're good. If you don't do what I need you to do, if you don't do what is necessary to help this football team or whatever it is, then we have a problem. And I respect that. When there are no highs, there are no lows, it is simply expectations.
Exactly.
And I kind of struggle with this, but you've been there, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. You kind of had this transition of power with the coach that was simply a coach that got elevated a little bit more with Jeff Fisher. Did you feel like any of your teammates felt differently about Jeff Fisher?
Again, I don't think the players sort of felt any different about him. I mean, you know, because once I think it's hard for people to sort of, you know, believe that. Listen, when a player gets in that building and he's on that field, he's not thinking about who's the GM or who's the president or if the coach has this much power, if the coach don't have this. You know, they're just thinking about getting the job done. Mm-hmm. That's it. So I didn't look at Fish any different.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm going out here and I'm doing my job. And like, if I'm doing my job, I'm not worried about anything. You know, we're going to butt heads. That's just the way it is. That's how competition is. You know, when you put individuals, men or women, in an environment like a sports environment where everything is sort of this pressure situation, every day is a pressure situation, you're going to have arguments between coaches and players, or players and players, or coaches and coaches. You're going to have that. So just because he has a little bit more power doesn't mean that those things still won't occur. You're still going to go out and you're still going to be that player. If I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do, I'm not worried. You know, eventually, yeah, they will cut me, but I'm going to make sure you don't cut me because of my performance. You may cut me for some other things, money, you know, salary cap, but you're not cutting me because of my performance. And that's the way I guess I can only speak from my experience. That's the way I approached it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, you know, because Floyd used to come up. Floyd would watch practice every day. Either he would be on the balcony watching practice from his office, or he would be on the ground floor watching practice. It didn't make me no difference because I knew I was going out there and performing the way I needed to perform. Now, if you're not out there performing the way you need to perform, then, yeah, you're going to worry.
We have a problem.
Whether the head coach has power or not, somebody's watching you. Uh-huh. Somebody's watching a film, you know? So I don't know if guys are going to look at Vrabel any different. I don't believe they are. Why? Because Vrabel has been a model of consistency in their eyes on how he treats individuals.
And I would say that I probably come from the same school of thought of, I don't care how much power you have. Mm-hmm. If we have a mutual respect and understanding, then great. I mean, you could be my equal. You could be above me. You could be below me. Respect each other. Cool. Got it. Like Chase was talking about this earlier, and he talked about his graduation from assistant programming director to programming director. I didn't view Chase any differently, nor did I feel like I needed to walk on eggshells around Chase because he was the programming director. Because I understand that Chase had a job to do, and mm-hmm. Chase has expectations for me. I'll meet those expectations, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not all of a sudden going to change my perception of somebody because of the amount of power that they have over me. But I can't tell each individual in that locker room how to feel. And to your point, D-Mace, I don't know how they feel about Mike Vrabel and his pull in one way or another, or his GMing duties. I don't know how they feel, nor will we ever know how they feel, nor can I tell them how to feel. But I do think it's an interesting dynamic. And I do think it's interesting to apply that to one certain individual. And that's what I want to get into coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 106 for the game.
You know, players get paranoid about, like, does this change now? You know, there's a lot of complaining, honestly, that goes on with NFL players around either position coaches, trainers, locker room attendants, all these different things. And if suddenly they feel like they're worried about whether or not the head coach is going to find out, you know, or it just creates a situation where now it's sort of like the players feel like, okay, now we also have this dividing line between us and the head coach, because the head coach is now basically the head coach / GM. It can screw with locker rooms. It's weird. You don't hear about it a lot, but you definitely hear it from players themselves. And often their agents will tell you, like, hey, I tell my guy, don't talk around this individual anymore in the franchise, because he'll go straight to the head coach and he'll tell the head coach what you're saying. And now the head coach is basically the GM, and you really need to think about that. Those conversations actually happen.
That was Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports on with Robbie and Rex Road this morning. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, Willie Donick out today. He's a baseball dad today. But Charles Robinson and Joe Rex Road are having this conversation this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. And Joe had a very interesting conversation and question to Charles Robinson of when coaches kind of graduate into that next level of they have a lot more say within personnel. They're essentially playing GM junior, similar to how Sean Payton kind of, he started out as a head coach, Mickey Loomis was the general manager, and then he started to get more and more and more say until eventually Mickey Loomis was basically just kind of there and Sean Payton had final say in their decisions. So he was asking that question in the lens of Mike Vrabel. Now that he, I think we all can agree, has an elevated role, that he has more say in personnel, he has more say in the GMing side of things, how does that affect the locker room? Now, Derek, I think you and I both agree that it shouldn't. It shouldn't affect the locker room. It shouldn't affect the way that players approach Mike Vrabel, because he's still the coach. Mm-hmm. He's still the same person. You have a job to do. Do your job. Do the job that Mike Vrabel tells you to do. No matter if he's the GM, no matter if he's the coach, whether he's the assistant coach, whatever he is, you just do your job. But I do think it's interesting. You know, Charles Robinson, you know, sometimes it can mess with a locker room. I think it's interesting when we approach that line of thinking or that perspective with the Kevin Byard situation. Kevin Byard was approached by Rand Carthon. Rand Carthon asked Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. Kevin Byard said no. That was 2 months ago. Fast forward to this week, Kevin Byard is not present at OTAs. Maybe it's nothing, but Kevin Byard is always the guy that's there. He always shows up. He always does the right thing. So it might be nothing, but it could be Kevin Byard showing, hey, I don't appreciate that you did that. I don't appreciate that I have been the person that is consistently available, that is consistently a leader in the locker room, consistently the person that's doing the right thing. I don't appreciate that you asked me to take less money because I've only done the right thing for this organization.
Yeah, I mean, that always, you know, when a person is still playing at a fairly high level, or, you know, they're still, their drop-off hasn't been, you know, much. And in Kevin Byard's case, that's his drop-off, you know, hasn't been much. It hasn't been as noticeable. Because he's still a, you know, one of the best safeties out there. So when you feel as a player, like, listen, I'm doing everything that I can, and I'm still one of the better safeties in the National Football League. I'm still a leader on this team. I'm still one of the best players on this team. And you come to me and ask me for a pay cut, yeah, that sort of hits you different because, you know, especially if you didn't see it coming. But if you understand, again, if you understand the business aspect of it, it was going to happen sooner or later. You know, whether it was this year or next year, they're either A, are going to want you to pick a pay cut if you're making a lot of money, or B, they're going to cut you. You can't take any of it personal. Mm-hmm. It's the business. Do you like it? No, you don't. Who likes being fired?
Who likes business?
Being exactly? Who likes being cut? Who likes saying, "Hey, you need to take a reduction in your pay," you know, this year? Who like? No one loves that. Mm-hmm. But if you understand it's a business, and it has nothing to do with you personally. It's just the business side of sports. Then you're able to move on quickly. And I believe, or I want to believe, that Kevin Byard is that guy. Like, okay, I don't want to take a pay cut. I shouldn't have to take a pay cut because of anybody on this team. I've been the guy that's been out here on the field every week.
Totally.
So why should I have to take a pay cut? But I also know that it's a business. It's not personal. It's Vrabel. I know Vrabel wants me on his team. I know Rand Carthon wants me on his team. Why? Because he asked me to take a pay cut. He didn't say we're cutting you. Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, they're going to have to do something here or there. But they're trying to find concessions before I have to do the ultimate. We want Kevin here, so we got to try to find another way to keep him on the ball club. Now, if he doesn't want to take a pay cut, then it makes it harder for us. And it has nothing to do with him personally.
I don't think it has a single thing to do with him personally. I don't think that there's a single person within that organization that could say a single breath of a bad thing about Kevin Byard. I don't even know if there is a bad thing to say about Kevin Byard. But if he is frustrated with Rand Carthon asking him for a pay cut, I don't blame him in the slightest. I wouldn't appreciate that conversation. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't handle that very well if I was doing everything that I was expected to do and still performing at a high level and was still asked to take a pay cut, business side of it or not. So I do wonder, as we kind of frame this in the conversation that Joe Rexroad and Charles Robinson had this morning, let's say Kevin Byard is pissed, absolutely irate, so mad at the organization. I'm not saying he is. I don't think that he is, but let's just say that. If and when Kevin Byard comes back within the building, mandatory minicamp, training camp, whenever he needs to be there, how much of that animosity could be geared toward Mike Vrabel? Because now Mike Vrabel has say in the GMing side of things. Now Mike Vrabel has a larger representation when the business decisions are needed to be made. And Kevin Byard is different. I understand Kevin Byard can probably understand things a little bit more than maybe other players just because he's different.
Well, I think once you – and it whether it's Kevin Byard, whether it's Ryan Tannehill, for instance, look at Ryan Tannehill. The last 2 years, what has been swirling over his head? Trade, pay cuts –
Drafting two quarterbacks in the last two drafts.
All of this stuff has been going on. Does it seem like Ryan Tannehill has any animosity toward the club? It doesn't.
No,
he's just going out there. Why? Because he's a veteran player. He's not a first-year player, not a second-year player.
He gets the business.
Not a third-year player. He's not a guy working on a contract. He understands the business side of it. He understands that, hey, at the end of the day, I got to go out there and perform. And if I don't, then I understand what the consequences will be. If I do, I still understand as I get an age what the consequences will be. Kevin Byard is in that same boat. That's why if Kevin Byard was a third-year person, I would be sitting here probably, you know, singing a different tune.
Yeah.
You know, because the immaturity, I believe, would be there as far as learning the business. Yeah, you got to learn some things. Go through some things. You know, go through contract negotiations back and forth. Well, Ryan Tannehill has done that twice, maybe three times. Kevin Byard has done it twice. They understand the business side of it.
Yeah.
So, I would just assume, I don't want to, you know, 100% speak for Kevin Byard, but I would assume that because he's been in this business long enough, he's been in this sport long enough, that he understands that it's a sport on Sunday. But Monday through Saturday, it's a business. Mm-hmm. And things happen on those days that don't happen on a Sunday. So I get it. Again, I can only assume this is what Kevin Byard is thinking. Like, he's not taking offense to it. He understands that it happened. Does he like it? Does anybody like when they ask me to take it? No, he doesn't like it. But like Ryan Tannehill, he accepts it, but he understands that as a professional, as a pro, he still got to go out and do his job.
And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I want to agree with you. Just knowing the kind of person and player that Kevin Byard is, he is always team first.
Well, Kevin is not going to tell you any different.
When
he comes into camp.
And that's the thing. We're not going to.
And they're
going to
ask him, and he's going to say what he's supposed to say.
He's going to say, I talked to Vrabel.
Yeah, I'm good. We're good.
Saw him at the golf course.
Yeah.
it is a bit of a red flag to me that he isn't there. Maybe it's something as simple as, look, you asked me to take a pay cut, then I'm not going to continue to do the things that I'm not required to do. Okay? Like, that's just is what it is. But it also, the other side of it could be, I'm really mad and I want out. And I don't know if that's the case with Kevin Byard. I don't know. We don't know. And that's the uneasy feeling about it is. It could be something as simple as, look, spend time with his family. Mm-hmm. It could be something as intense as, I'm ready to move on from this organization.
Listen, I've experienced it all. I've experienced being cut. I've experienced being cut twice.
It's not a fun thing, I'm sure.
Cut three times. I've experienced being fired. But in all of that, in the moment, yeah, you're upset because of what's happening. It's right. Changing your life moving forward. It may not change it a lot, but it's changing what you're used to doing. So I may be upset at the moment, but after that, I as an adult and as a person that has been through all of this, you realize that, okay, it was a business deal. Mm-hmm. They still like me as a person because I didn't give them no reason not to like me as a person.
Right.
But it's a business deal. It's an understanding, you know? Why do you think, you know, still good, you know, still have a good relationship with this, with people in this building? Because it's what I show them every day, regardless of what happened years ago.
Right.
I was upset at the moment, but I understood and was able to move on, but still keep that relationship intact. And I'm sure that's what Ryan Tannehill is thinking and Kevin Byard is thinking. That's why I can, you know, walk into, you know, say Baltimore like I did and talk with Ozzy and talk with John. You know, I can still talk with certain people here in Nashville at the facility because it's like I understand why they had to do what they had to do. I didn't keep it personal. I joked with Floyd a lot. I joked with Floyd a lot. But deep down, it was like I had forgiven him for that stuff a long time ago. You know?
I think you get to a certain point where you understand it.
Yeah,
just
you
business.
Just understand it.
In the moment, though. Mm-hmm.
In the moment, you're upset.
Yeah, and I totally moment, get yeah. that. Ray is on the line with a question for D-Mace. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. Thanks very much. D-Mace, do you agree with this statement? Mm-hmm. A true leader puts the team ahead of himself. I mean, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's why I'm so confused. I love Kevin Byard. I think it was ridiculous that they ask him of all players for a pay cut. And I think he had the right to tell him to, you know, stick it. I'm not doing it. But here's my question. Mm-hmm. So they ask him for the pay cut. He said no. Why is this a thing now? What I've heard is he knows this is hurting the team. He knows that these young players need to see his example. And what they're seeing, D-Mace, is not, hey, they asked me for a pay cut. I said, no, it's over. Let's play some football. What they're seeing is if you don't like what happens, you throw a little a hissy fit and punish the team. And I just can't – I don't get that from Kevin Byard. That's why I'm so confused about – if it's nothing, great. But if he's making a point, I just don't get it.
Thanks for your call, Ray.
I'll quickly, because we got to get the break. I think the players – give grace. So we, you know, you look at it from standpoint, that's his business. I'm not getting in his business. Whatever's going on, I know that Kevin will be here. If he's on the team, he will be here eventually. Again, OT, as long as he's communicated with Mike Vrabel and Shane Bourne and his defensive back coach, then okay, I'm fine with it. You know, that's whether he had contract issues or not. As long as you've communicated that with Vrabes, then we're good. It seems like Vrabel's not making a big deal. I know he probably wants him here, but if he's communicated that with Vrabel, like, okay, whatever he said, this is why I'm not coming. Whatever he said. And we understand how Vrabel feels about players and contracts and all. Look what he did for Jeffrey Simmons last year.
Yeah, Jeffrey Simmons just did his own thing in exactly. the sand pit
and,
on the side.
And what did Vrabel say? We have a program for him. Right. We got some in place for Jeffrey. Don't worry about him, because he understands. Same way with Byard, I guarantee you.
And Byard, it would not be the first player in the history of the NFL to not come to OTAs because maybe disgruntled with the team. Maybe there are questions about the next steps moving forward with how the Titans want to handle the amount of money that he is due. Maybe it's the Titans telling him, hey, look, we got to figure some things out on our end. Mm-hmm. Don't come. We don't want you to get injured because we're figuring stuff out. So you just stay put until we give you the green light. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to blame Kevin Byard because I understand if he is upset or disgruntled with the team, I understand where that is coming from. The biggest thing for me is, what's going on? Because something's going on, and I want to know what it is. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into your calls and texts. We've got a bunch of your thoughts lining up. We'll get into those coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063 The Game, and The Game at Nashville app. We'll chat with Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, the 32 Thoughts podcast, in 30 minutes. And hey, this week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, just a short drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. DeMace, unless you have a thought?
Let's go to the phone.
Let's get to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Jared and Dixon texts in and says, the response makes me wonder if Kevin Byard's frustration has carried on. It may still be frustrated in the back of his mind. And then when you put the whipped cream on top with asking for a pay cut.
I mean, again, it's tough to say. I'm not going to solely tie, this to him taking a pay cut. And you know, I know it's people say, well, it's a damn coincidence that they asked him to take a pay cut and he's not here for OTAs.
Awfully fishy.
Yeah. So, I mean, if this was something mandatory, that's when I think people need to worry. When it becomes mandatory, if he's not here when it becomes mandatory, I think that's when one or two things have occurred. Either, honestly, one thing, but it can sort of lead into two things. Either, you know, he's upset about the idea of having to take a pay cut. Not upset with the Titans, but upset at the idea of having to take a pay cut. And the potential of not being here. The potential of being traded. Because I don't think they will let him go, just like cut him. Mm-hmm. I think it would have to be a trade. So maybe the organization isn't pushing it as much because, you know, they are potentially looking for a trade partner. So if I don't push him coming into the building and, you know, he's not going to come, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. If I make a big deal out of it, you know, then he comes in. If we're trying to trade him, he comes in, get hurt. Now we're stuck with it. So we're stuck with the contract. So
yeah, if he gets hurt, that contract's fully guaranteed.
Exactly. So I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Maybe I don't like it, but I'm not going to make a big deal about it because we have something else sort of, you know, going on that we're trying to accomplish if we can't get him to lower that cap number. So once things start to become mandatory, if he's not here, I think that's when people need to start to get worried, because again, it's voluntary now, and I know because of what the track record he has said already that he's been all of these voluntary things. Majority of even Vrabel said there were some days he wasn't here and it was a voluntary and wasn't here, and obviously he communicated that with Vrabel, and so they went on. But it's gotten so much headwind because of, you know, them asking him to take a pay cut. And so he don't show up at OTAs. Now people are wondering, like, is he not showing up because he's mad and disgruntled? He don't want to be around? Or they don't want to go to the other alternative and say, well, maybe he just talked to Vrabel and he's getting older as a veteran and, you know, he's not here. Just like Ryan Tannehill wasn't here for some of the OTAs last year.
And that was a problem.
But he ended up really not being a problem. You know, it was only a problem because of the comments he made, you know, in regards to Willis.
And the Instagram photo. Yeah,
exactly, Instagram photo. So
on his boat.
But when it came down to it, it wasn't really a problem. Once he got here, it was fine. He was like, I'm here doing what I need to do, whatever. I just had to be at home to take care of some things. Now, whether we accepted that, because I'm not going to call it an excuse because it was real. Whether we accept what he was doing or not, it was the truth, what he was doing. And obviously he communicated that with Vrabel. And the same thing with Kevin Byard. As long as he's communicated that with Vrabel, then, I mean, I don't know. It's okay, I guess.
Tannehill was renovating his house.
Yeah, he had to. That's a big house.
How could we expect him to show up to OTAs?
That's a big house. He had a hammer in one hand and a nail in the other. Yeah, he couldn't throw a football, okay?
It was a DIY project. He couldn't afford to hire someone.
Exactly. There you go, man.
Yeah, sorry. I hope that your bathroom floors look great, Ryan. How much was it a red flag to you that the Titans were playing Elijah Molden at safety in OTAs?
Not a big problem. They had to play somebody, you know, at safety at OTAs. I mean, you know, so they had to.
Are they grooming him for the safety position?
I don't know. I would be, if I was them, I would be trying to groom Caleb Farley, too, at the safety position.
Oh, boy. Don't get me started. Kenny the Mailman is on the line. What's up, Kenny?
Good afternoon, one and all. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Derek, you're an expert on this. I'm going to lean on you heavily.
Okay.
We've already, had a couple of calls that they just don't understand why isn't this 100% behind the team? Why don't we do this, that, and this, and that? I think as a player, you can speak to this. If you want to be a leader of the players, you can't be seen as 100% management because some of the decisions do upset the players. And to be a leader of the player, you got to have their back. If you remember, you might have to help me with the names. I believe it was the first year we were here in Memphis, when there a really good linebacker named Randall Godfrey, mm-hmm. who had earned a contract. They promised it, wound up cutting him, and it really, really ticked off a lot of players on the team. Wasn't that right?
Yeah, we were already here, and I think we had already been in the stadium back then when Randall Godfrey, if I'm not mistaken, but you're right about the timeline. It was somewhere around there, and I could remember that morning right before we went out. Randall was coming from down. He went upstairs, I guess. He said the principal's office, but he went upstairs, and it was sort of like the Kevin Byard thing. Asked to take a pay cut, you know, lower the salary cap, I think he did or didn't or agreed to it or didn't. I don't know, but he ended up subsequently getting cut. And it sort of was blindside to all the guys, you know, because no one saw this coming. Because Randall had been playing great. Mm-hmm. He was one of our leaders on defense. And that defense excelled with him on the field. And it just came it came out of nowhere for us. Now, upper management, Floyd and Jeff, they may have been thinking about this for a while. But for us as players, this was one of the guys that we leaned on, that showed he was a player, he was a leader for this team. And it sort of hit us out of nowhere. And guys were upset, like visibly, guys were upset. Even as we walked on the field, every coach – head coach, everybody knew that the guys were upset, especially the core guys were upset. Because it was like, how can you do that to him? He's been doing everything that you've asked him to do. Now, Randall did deal with some injuries here and there, but he was a player, and guys were upset when he got cut.
You didn't think I remember that, did you? I go way back. You know, it's a lesson I learned. You don't have to bite anybody, but once every 2 or 3 years, you better bark just to let people know you can bark back or you'll get run over. Listen, great talking to you today.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Kenny. I mean, if the Titans do decide to move on from Kevin Byard, let's say they are at a crossroads, which was the last that we've really heard from this, which has been 2 months since Rand Carthon asked him to take a pay cut. If they're still at a crossroads and they can't get away from this crossroads and get to an agreement, mm-hmm. which I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Do you think that locker room is going to be really upset?
Yeah.
That's their guy.
I'm sure they will. But just like anything else, as time starts to get further away from that moment, you know, you have to settle in. You hate that he's gone, but you can't allow that to sort of, you know, cripple your season or cripple your progress on what you're trying to get accomplished. Yes, we hate it that, you know, if a guy like Kevin Byard isn't with the team, but he can't play 100 years.
Right.
He's not Benjamin Button here, okay? He's not getting younger.
But there is a difference between retiring and we got to cut you because we can't afford you. And while mm-hmm. it would hurt, and I think a whole lot of guys in the locker room would say, this sucks, mm-hmm. move on. I think that's lesson for some of these young guys. That's your lesson as a rookie mm-hmm. or second year, whatever it might be. This is a business, and sometimes it sucks. But let's have some fun coming up next.
All right.
Caroline Ville, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Let's have a little bit of fun. A little
Let's
round
do it.
Of Would You Rather. We mm-hmm. do it every single Thursday. I am in the questions chair this week. Mm. So D-Mace, Nick, staff member Nick.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Let's do it.
Non-sports. Okay, first question for you in the non-sports category. Would you rather sing your favorite song in front of a sold-out arena? The crowd goes wild. Or in front of the artist of that favorite song alone?
Oh, man. Gosh, you know what? I think if I knew the song by heart and it wouldn't be like, it wouldn't be a song like a ballad, like I got to sing, like show my vocal cords.
Like
it
a Tina Turner, rest in peace to a legend.
Rest in peace. It would be something that, you know, either rap or something that I can sort of, you know, just
vibe
with the beat and just kind of say the words. So I would rather do it in front of a sold out crowd, me, than the artist. Because the artist looks at you like, seriously?
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? Like,
wrong note.
Like, I didn't say that, you know. But I would rather do it in front of a crowd, you know. Because I think you can, I don't know, I would rather do it in front of a crowd.
Okay, all right. I think that's fair, Derek. Now, I'm not a singer. I don't want to be a singer. So, but if I ever picked a song that I like, then I'd probably sing it in front of the artist because, like, I'm fine with a crowd. Like, I'm fine with that. I've played in front of crowds. I've been in front of a large group of like, people. I've spoken in college and classes. But, like, singing-wise, I'd rather just be coached through a song, Derek, maybe, and then be told, like, oh, well, hey, like, maybe do it better this way. But I don't know. I would rather do a one-on-one and then maybe it be something I master at, maybe at some point. I don't know.
Not just a reporter, mm-hmm. not just a staff member, but Singer Nick. Singer Nick. I think I'm with you, D-Mace. I think I'd rather do it in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, how cool, all of the, you know, adrenaline, how exhilarating,
exactly.
Your favorite song in front of a sold-out crowd.
Just sing it. Like,
pretty
go with
cool.
it. You know, it's just, I don't, because if the beat is playing and all this other stuff, you ain't got to try to sing the song.
Right. Everyone's
just,
singing
exactly.
with you.
You just, they vibing with you because they feel it. I don't know if the artist will vibe with you.
I can live out my pop star dreams.
Exactly. There we go.
Okay, let's do a sports question before we get into non-sports. Would you rather have Joe Burrow with the Titans wide receiver core, Treylon Burks and Jabroni and company, or Ryan Tannehill with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins?
Oh, so the flipped roll.
A little flipped roll. Joe Burrow in a Titans uniform versus Ryan Tannehill in a Bengals uniform.
Gosh.
Now, is this to play out the rest of their career? Because I know that we have, like, little caveats with these.
Don't think too much into it.
Okay.
So off the top of the head.
Either we're bringing Burrow here, or we bring in his receivers here.
No, you're just flipping the quarterbacks.
Pretty much, yes. So it's
because if
Ryan
that's
Tannehill,
the case, yeah.
T. Higgins, and Jamar Chase versus Joe Burrow, yeah. Treylon
no
Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Chris Moore. Yeah.
Okay. Because if it was, okay, I don't want to see Ryan Tannehill with those guys on the Cincinnati Bengals because it's not doing anything for me. Now, if you say, well,
it's more hypothetical.
Yeah, if you get Burrow on this team with these receivers, or Ryan Tannehill on this team with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, I'm taking T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Ja'Marr Chase and Ryan Tannehill with Derrick Henry in backfield. I'm taking that.
I'm going to flip Derek. I would rather go with Joe Burrow. I think he could step up. But, yeah, I think that's a little interesting, Caroline, because you have to think of how can he gel one, and then the other thing is how can he use his talent to win the games too. And so that's tough. But I would really lean toward Joe Burrow in this one situation.
But here's why I wouldn't lean with Joe Burrow. We saw what Aaron Rodgers wasn't able to do without a bad pass. And his wasn't even that bad. It's just he didn't have enough. We saw what he couldn't do. We've seen, you know, what other, you know, great quarterbacks ultimately end up great quarterbacks. If they didn't have those pass catchers, they couldn't truly elevate them to a championship. I think with Ryan Tannehill's skill set, his knowledge of the game, him being a veteran, him being a good quarterback, he can lead with that group of guys. He can lead with that defense. He can lead a team to a Super Bowl, a la Tampa Bay Buccaneers some years ago when they won with Keenan McCardle, Keyshawn Johnson, really good run game, hell of a defense. The quarterback was basically a journeyman. Who was it? Doug Johnson, somewhere. It was one of the Johnsons, I believe. But he wasn't a great quarterback. But he had guys around him. They had a great defense. They ultimately ended up winning a Super Bowl, led by Warren Sapp on that defense. And Derek, what's Derek's last name? The linebacker for Tampa, Hall of Fame now. I forget his last name. Derek Brooks. You can do that with a quarterback but some good pieces around him than to have that great quarterback and no pieces around him.
We've seen it so many times before. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, Trent Dilfer. They weren't bad quarterbacks, but they weren't elite quarterbacks. Yeah. So I have to go with Derek again on this one, which is shocking that I choose the option that's not Joe Burrow in this situation. But I think that your quarterback can only be Superman to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. So I would take Ryan Tannehill with those pieces around him. You can absolutely win a Super Bowl with that. I do think Joe Burrow is a Superman enough that even whoever's around him, he's still going to make magic happen. But we saw what he looked like in that first year in the league, which, of course, I know he tore his ACL late in the season, which rookie year, he got a lot to figure it out. But before Ja'Marr Chase came into the mix, that Bengals team did not look even close to what the Bengals team looks like now. So I think with those pieces and insert a solid quarterback, good, not great, good, not elite, you can do a whole lot of damage.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's get into another non-sports question. Would you rather have everyone know or have everyone to be have the ability to be able to read your mind, know your thoughts, or everyone in the world has the ability to have access to your internet history? Can't delete anything.
Have my internet history. Have it.
Really?
Yeah, but you ain't reading my thoughts, man. I can't, because you might, I mean, people think about the craziest things. Not that they act on them.
Sure.
But people think about the craziest things and the things that are like, man, oh, if you, oh, you really think about, you really feel that way about me? I don't. I would rather just go ahead and listen. Look at my browser. You know, go ahead. Have at it.
Well, Derek, if you were still playing in the NFL, that'd be a really easy answer for you, I feel like.
Yeah, if I was still playing. Nah, but then it, I don't know. See, that's a tough one. But right now where I sit, have at my browser.
That's how I feel. My browser is not very that interesting. Yeah, it's a whole lot of like research for the show. And, you know, I have a headache. Do I have osteosarcoma? Like things like that.
You go
like,
to the extreme.
I go to WebMD. Yeah. It's like, oh, I have a pain in my side. Is it simply just because I haven't drank enough water today? Or do I have appendicitis?
Oh, my gosh.
Man, you go down that rabbit hole. Boy, oh boy, you
these are the real pressing questions.
Nothing interesting.
You
in
think
there.
You only got like 3 days left on this
Start
earth.
Calling all of my loved ones. Like it could just be a stomach ache.
Yeah.
Or it could be something else.
Oh, my gosh.
I have an ulcer.
Oh, my goodness.
What is your
I'd rather do the search history. I don't think it's going to be that crazy.
And if you don't choose search history, then what the heck are you looking up?
Yeah, I just say, look at my browser.
Go ahead. Have at it. Last sports question for y'all.
Real quick, let's go.
Would you rather win multiple MVPs and no Super Bowls, or a Super Bowl as kind of a non-star?
So Trent Dilfer, basically.
Man. Trent Dilfer.
He was a quarterback of that team.
Sure,
but like a guy, like a backup defensive lineman on the Chiefs.
I would say maybe for the sake of the legacy, maybe winning the MVPs, because then you're going to have that gold jacket, but then you won't have the championship, which is kind of tough. Yeah. But I would lean maybe just a smidge there.
Yeah, because if I'm a backup on a Super Bowl winning team.
Practice squad
or something like that. My years in that sport or in MVP, the NFL won't be that long. I take it. But if I'm a multiple time MVP, which means I got a long career, I may have went to the Super Bowl but didn't win it. So I'm basically Dan Marino.
Yeah.
I take it.
Yeah, would you rather be Dan Marino or insert no name who was on the Chiefs practice squad last year? I think I agree. I'd rather be an MVP, but man, MVP, would that haunt
multiple-time
you?
Multiple time MVP,
and bug you for the rest of your life.
You'd be Charles Barkley.
Dan Marino, but not bad to be Dan Marino or Charles Barkley.
Heck no.
Movie stars now.
Mm-hmm.
That was Would You Rather. Appreciate everyone for tuning in. We will chat with Elliot Freeman, 32 Thoughts in the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.